A Quiet Light, written by Blue Dreaming and read by Chestnut Philly. A Mushishi story for general audiences. Originally written for Parallels Fanworks Exchange 2016 for Jan. The story incorporates quotes from Blownote, which is a sort of Tumblr blog that follows the DJ of a South Korean radio station. The translations I'm reading, and the exact number of each blow note, I will leave in the metadata, and in the original post for this podfic. Only one excerpt, the Wind Blows one, is not from Blow Note. It is by Nam Jin Woo, and it's from The Seven Notes, or Practicing Despair Regarding Comte de L'Outremont's Wanderings and Frustrations. So please do check those out if you'd like to have a fuller idea of where some of the excerpts in this fic come from. If you'd like to leave a comment for the author, please visit archiveofourown.org/works/780129-4. If you'd like to leave a comment for me, the podficker, and please do, I can be found at the Archive of Our Own as chestnut_philly. I go on a journey. Not a journey where I leave with empty hands to return with full hands, but one to empty my full hands. Tan Yu doesn't really count the days, but she doesn't need to. Even when she's not paying attention, the darkness creeps slowly up her skin, like a surfeit of words slowly siphoning from the air around her, the breaths she takes, the whispers of the leaves as they brush against the roof of the house. There are so many stories, but she can't hear the words alone. The creak of her crutches counts the time for her instead, the way the sound of the straining wood grows gradually louder as she keeps moving. Hop, hop, hop. It's a different kind of time. We, who had to learn the beauty of wings by looking at taxidermied butterflies. Ginkgo is not the only one with stories, but Tan Yu likes his stories the most, a fact which she mentions, the words slipping out of her mouth, more temporary than the ink that is more than ink, but just as permanent. Ginkgo doesn't laugh. Ginkgo meets her eyes, nodding his head as he tips it slightly to the side. "Everyone tells me stories about things dying," Tan Yu says, turning her eyes to gaze out the window, at the breeze carrying with it the seed pods of the maple trees, who are just beginning their journey to somewhere else. "There are so many living things," Ginkgo says, and takes a sip of tea. "The wind blows. I should live. The wind blows. I should live. The wind doesn't blow. I should still live." There's a particular feeling when she sets her brush to paper. Ginkgo asks her once what it's like. She sits there, on the boulder in the field, staring at the sky, the horizon waiting like a promise of a future she might get to taste. Her leg is quiet, sated. "It feels like bleeding," she says, lifting a hand, the light breeze trickling between her fingers, invisible to the eye. "It feels like letting go." Ginkgo nods once, even though she feels that the words aren't quite right, and follows her gaze out to the hills. "It's like when I hear about places I haven't seen," she thinks. It doesn't really matter if the words aren't enough. I had a dream about escaping. The story is everything, but the story is also nothing. Tan Yu sits at the table, eyes tracing over the letters that swim together into the blur of an ocean she's never seen as moisture fogs her vision. Drip, drop. Some of the feelings spill over, landing on the paper that doesn't smudge. Is it sadness? She wipes her eyes and reaches for the crutches, the wood familiar beneath her fingers. There's a different kind of story there, one that doesn't have words or narrative or a record in the archives. Everything holds a secret. The wood of the crutch, the wind passing beneath the eaves, the forbidden mushi housed in her flesh. Everything is a story. She takes a deep breath and runs her fingers over the words. I want to leave for somewhere I don't want to leave. Sometimes at night, Tanyu looks out at the stars in the dark sky and thinks about her ancestor, the first one who held the forbidden mushi, her entire body stained. Her leg slips between the folds of the fabric, and she doesn't look down at her skin, but stares instead at her fingers, stained with ink, something she has done herself. The first stories were like fairy tales, she reminisces, her words floating to the ceiling. I'm a fairy tale, she whispers, and one day I will quell the dragon and leave the castle. The Mushishi come, the dragon slayers, and they bring tales of death. Tama comes to her door, knocking gently on the wood frame before she slides it open. Giko has come, she says. Tanyu readies her brush to write stories of dragons who can sometimes understand, just like anyone else. After all, she holds one within her. Among the countless things the two of us can share, silence seems to be the most valuable. Sometimes they sit side by side on the porch, Ginkgo with his tobacco, her with her pipe. The grass rustles and crickets chirp, hidden from sight. Ginkgo exhales, circles of smoke that drift through the air, expanding to encompass the world. Tama brings tea. It slips warmly down Tanyu's throat. There are so many living things, so many delightful things. Ginkgo smiles at nothing in particular, and Tanyu finds herself laughing. He starts to laugh and then misswallows, coughing on an exhale. The air hangs sweet in the sky. They don't need to say anything at all. Everything will be good. Everything will be good. Everything will be good.
Thank you for listening.